Welcome to the Get to the Point podcast, a podcast for busy women who want to have real conversations about fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle, but without rambling or wasting time. Let's get to the point. Hey guys, welcome to episode 35 of the Get to the Point podcast. This is your host, Leslie Ann. This episode is all about the female metabolism, which is something that might seem very confusing and mysterious to a lot of you. I totally understand that because it used to be the same way for me too. So if you have ever said or thought something along the lines of, I have a slow metabolism, or my metabolism's broken, or my metabolism needs a jump start, or I need to do a cleanse to reset my metabolism, then this episode is for you. I think most of us begin our fitness journey, our nutrition journey, or, you know, some kind of body transformation journey with the understanding or the belief that our bodies kind of work like calculators. Like, it's just about calories in versus calories out. And so we start eating less and doing a ton of exercise. And while that might work initially, it soon starts to backfire. I know this happened to me. It's happened to countless women that I know. It's happened to a lot of our clients, and we have to help them kind of get themselves out of this corner that they've painted themselves into. And part of doing that is teaching them how their metabolism actually works so they can start working with their bodies, not against them. So if that is something that you've been struggling with and you feel like you are on this hamster wheel of trying to burn as many calories as you can each day while simultaneously eating as few calories as possible each day, I think this episode is going to be really eye-opening for you and possibly help reduce some of the anxiety that you have around food and workouts. That's my goal. All right. So we are going to first debunk some common myths and misconceptions about the metabolism so that you can learn a better framework for understanding how it actually works. Before we get into that, let's talk first about what your metabolism is, because I think a lot of us have these ideas, like I said, about what your metabolism is and how it works that aren't really accurate. And that's what's driving our workout behavior. It's what's driving how we eat. It's what's creating all this anxiety around, you know, why we're not able to lose weight or lose weight as fast as we would like, or maybe why we're gaining weight inexplicably. So the first thing to understand about the metabolism is it's a process, it's a mechanism, it's not any one thing in your body. You can't have your metabolism removed, you can't have your metabolism shut down or restarted or any of that, because metabolism is essentially the process of converting food to usable energy in the body. And this process of metabolism, this happens in all living organisms, okay? So when we eat food, our bodies can't use chicken, they can't use sweet potatoes, they can't use whatever it is you're eating. It has to be broken down and converted into different substances that your body can actually use. For example, chicken, your body can't use chicken, so it has to be broken down by your digestive system, by digestive enzymes, and the body then converts it, breaks it down into amino acids. And these go into the bloodstream. Then the bloodstream is kind of the mechanism that they get transported to the cells. And that's where the food that we eat is then stored to be used as energy for later, stored or used, okay? So that's metabolism, that's it. And this is happening all the time. If it wasn't, you would be dead. So this idea that my metabolism is broken or it has given up or it has failed me, if that were true, you would not be listening to this episode. You would literally be dead. So let's talk about, you know, how our metabolism works in terms of energy expenditure each day. There's a couple different terms I'm going to throw at you here. Some of these you might be familiar with. Some of them you've maybe never heard before. And if you're a visual person and me, you know, throwing all these terms out at you is kind of overwhelming and making your head explode, I have this all broken down into a nice, pretty little graphic on our Instagram feed. So if you listen to this episode and you're like, Leslie Ann, I hear all those terms about daily energy expenditure and metabolic rate, this and that, but it was too much for me. So show me the picture. Send me a direct message on Instagram at Fat Loss Lifestyle School, and I'll show you the post and you can find it. And it'll be really easy then to understand if you're more of a visual learner. So what you need to understand about your metabolic rate, that's, you know, your total daily energy expenditure. Your metabolic rate is the number of calories that your body expends each day. And that number comes from four different places. There are four different components of your total daily energy expenditure. Now, believe it or not, this is the one that's most surprising to our clients and to women that we work with. They have no idea that they are burning this many calories simply to be alive each day. This is what's known as your resting metabolic rate or your basal metabolic rate. Those two terms aren't exactly the same, but they're fairly interchangeable. But this is the number of calories that your body needs at rest. So the example I always give is you get sick, you have the flu, you stay home, and you're just sacked out on the couch all day watching Netflix. Even though you're not going to the gym, you're not going for a run, you're not even moving that much, your body still requires energy to function. All the different systems and processes in your body that are keeping you alive, such as your respiration, your brain activity, your circulatory system, pumping blood in your body, your, the ability to open your eyes and talk, like everything that you're doing as part of being alive, that requires energy. And believe it or not, this makes up about 70% of your total daily energy expenditure. It's a big chunk of the calories that you burn each day. And once our clients understand this, it really helps them let go of this anxiety that a lot of us have that, you know, if I don't get to the gym 7 days a week, I'm going to gain weight. Well, it's not actually true. If you understand that a lot of calories are being burned each day just by you being alive. Okay. So a lot of us think all of our calories burned come from workouts. Actually not the case. Now, where does this number come from? How do we know how many calories we burn at rest each day? Well, there are calculators that you can use online, various scientific formulas that researchers have created over the years that will give you a really nice ballpark for roughly how many calories your body needs each day to stay alive. And the other way to find this number is if you get an in-body scan. If you follow us on social media or you've done Fat Loss Lifestyle School, you've probably heard us talk about the in-body scan. It is a machine, you can go to their website, inbodyusa.com, that is commonly found in gyms or nutrition stores or universities or wherever, and it scans your whole body and gives you body composition. So your ratio of lean mass to fat mass. It also does a really good job of using that information, plus your age, your weight, all that stuff, to calculate your approximate basal metabolic rate or resting metabolic rate. Okay. So for example, mine, I'm 5'9". I have a decent amount of lean muscle on my body for the age that I am, et cetera. So my resting metabolic rate tends to be around 1500 to 1600 calories a day just to stay alive. So mine's a little bit higher because I'm taller. If you are someone who's more petite, maybe you're 5'1 or 5'2, then yours is probably going to be a little bit lower. If you're just a smaller person, your weight plays a huge role in how many calories you burn each day. Obviously, if you are, the more you weigh, the higher your basal metabolic rate will be, because the more calories your body needs to sustain the organism, you, okay? So basal metabolic rate, resting metabolic rate, that number accounts for about 70% of the calories that you burn each day. And this number is slightly changeable. There are some things that we can do to boost our basal metabolic rate. One of the big ones is building and retaining lean muscle mass. The more lean muscle mass you have on your body, the leaner you are, the higher your basal metabolic rate will be, the more calories you will need to sustain your body at rest. Okay. So that is one thing that you can do. But even then, it's only the difference of maybe a couple hundred calories. It's not like it's earning you a whole nother meal each day just by having X amount of muscle on your body. So that's the first category that makes up a huge chunk of your total daily energy expenditure. The next biggest category is something you hear us talk about all the time at Fat Loss Lifestyle School, and that is NEAT, N-E-A-T, fun little acronym there, and it stands for non-exercise activity thermogenesis. These are the number of calories that your body burns each day from non-exercise activity. So this is you walking around Target. It's you walking your dog. It is going up and down the stairs at work or walking from your car to your office building. All of that movement, it includes things like fidgeting. It all counts. It all takes energy. It all burns calories. This accounts for about 15% of your total daily energy expenditure. And this number actually has a lot more potential to move and to be changeable than, for example, the one we just talked about, your BMR. With meat, the cool thing about meat is you can manipulate this number. You can increase your daily movement, increasing your overall calorie output for the day without increasing your appetite and your cravings, which when we talk about exercise activity in a minute, you'll understand that there are, you know, there's a lot of different ways to burn calories here. Most of us go straight to exercise, but the thing about exercise is that it also makes us more hungry. And if we do too much of it, especially high intensity cardio, things like that, it also tends to increase our cravings for the wrong kinds of food. So then it's very easy to eat back those calories that you burned in that workout and to want to eat them back in the form of tacos and chips and queso, not grilled chicken, sweet potatoes, and broccoli. All right. I've been there myself, believe me. So neat. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis. This is why we are so gung-ho at Fat Loss Lifestyle School about walking, and why one of the first things we're going to have you start doing if you do Fat Loss Lifestyle School with us is start walking at least 30 minutes a day, because it's going to increase that NEAT activity, those calories that you're burning through non-exercise movement without making you more hungry or jacking up your cravings. In fact, it actually does the opposite. It lowers stress hormones and makes you less likely to have cravings. So NEAT is probably one of the most underrated factors for fat loss. And it's kind of one of our secret weapons at Fat Loss Lifestyle School. All right, number three, the third component of your total daily energy expenditure is the exercise. We just talked about this. And check this out. This accounts for maybe 10% of your total daily energy expenditure. It's, you know, a lot of us really overplay exercise and how much of a role it has in fat loss. And we think, you know, if we're burning hundreds and thousands of calories that, well, I have to lose weight then because look at all these calories I'm burning. Your body doesn't really work like that. Your metabolism doesn't really work like that. So exercise isn't as important as you think for fat loss. There are other things that are more important, like controlling the amount of food coming in. When you do that and you understand that you're burning 1,000+ calories a day just by being alive, you don't have to kill yourself in the gym anymore. You don't have to take two group fitness classes back to back to try to burn 1,000 calories because you're burning 1,000 calories by being alive today, okay? So this already hopefully is starting to lower the temperature, lower the anxiety, and kind of maybe make you question all of the strategies you've been using up until now where you're super focused on the numbers on your fitness tracker and how many calories have I burned and how many calories have I eaten in my fitness pal. And if I can create a giant deficit, then I will lose weight super fast. And then when that doesn't happen, well, what the heck is wrong? Why isn't this working? I guess I need to do more exercise and eat less. And then when that doesn't work, well, maybe it's my metabolism. Maybe I broke it. You didn't break it. You're just working against it. And it's the harder you push on it, the harder it pushes back. So that's what's happening there. The last component of total daily energy expenditure, tiny little bit, about 5%, is the thermic effect of food. Your body requires energy to break down the food that you eat. The digestion process requires energy. So it's actually kind of cool. It's not a lot of calories, but you are going to burn some calories by eating and digesting your food. And here's another cool thing. Protein, of all the three different macronutrients, protein, fat, and carbs, protein has the highest thermic effect of all the different food groups. So your body burns more energy by breaking down protein than carbs or fat. And this is something we can use to our advantage if our goal is fat loss. And this is not the main reason we prioritize high protein, but it is a factor and it certainly does help. So just to recap, the biggest category of calories that you're expending each day, that comes from your BMR or your resting metabolic rate, basal metabolic rate. Next category is that NEAT, that non-exercise activity like walking, about 15%. And that's really a secret weapon. You really want to use that. Number three was the exercise activity. That accounts for about 10% of changeable metabolism. And then the thermic effect of food, what's left over? About 5%. Okay. So all of those numbers add up to your total daily energy expenditure. So mine, for example, if I factor in like my age, my weight, my height, my activity level, et cetera, to maintain my current weight, my total daily energy expenditure, this might sound like a lot to some of you, is about 2,400 to 2,500 calories. I can eat that much and I do not gain weight. I maintain my weight. And then if I want to be in a calorie deficit, I take 20% off that, which is a very nice, conservative, easy number. It's not going to stress my body out. Take off a few hundred calories. And I've still got a lot of calories to play with each day in a calorie deficit for fat loss. Okay. So understanding how many calories you need each day, when you understand it correctly, it's actually quite liberating, and it's more than most women think they need. And these numbers that you will get in calculations from different websites and formulas, et cetera, they're not 100% accurate, but they are a ballpark and they are a place to start. You will, of course, have to do some trial and error and, you know, kind of figure out over the course of a few days or weeks, like roughly where your sweet spot is, but that's a process worth doing. And if you haven't done that ever, that might be a really eye-opening exercise activity for you to do, is to see what is your maintenance calorie intake to just maintain your weight where it is right now. Because most of us, most of you listening, I bet you've been trying to be in a calorie deficit since you were like 18. You've been trying to lose weight for like years or decades or whatever. And, you know, what we're going to get into in a minute here is how your metabolism hates that, especially as a woman. So it might be worth doing a little experiment, taking a break from trying to diet, lose fat all the time, and finding out where that number is of how many calories you can eat to maintain your current weight. And it's maintenance. So you're not going to gain weight. If you gain weight, you're in a surplus. I think a lot of people get those numbers confused. Surplus would be like if I ate 3,000 calories a day. Yeah. Then I'd have a little bit of extra. And I mean, that's like me standing at the gas pump with my hand on the gas pump after my tank is full. I'm going to get spillover. That's what happens in our bodies. If we eat more calories than we expend, it gets spilled over. It gets stored in various tissues in the body, the liver, the muscles, body fat, et cetera, to be used for later. Okay. So that's what a calorie surplus is. And if you're gaining fat, gaining weight, you're eating more calories than are coming in, than you need. More calories are coming in than you need. Okay. All right. So now that we understand that, awesome. You still with me? Has your head exploded yet? No, you're good. Let's move on. Let's talk more about this idea of the human metabolism working like a calculator. Hopefully you're starting to understand now that I've kind of broken down all the things that go into your metabolic rate, like what that number actually means and what goes into it. You're starting to understand like, maybe this isn't just a calculator game. Maybe there are some other things at play here. That is true. And if I think the easiest way to think about this is to think back hundreds, thousands of years to our ancestors, like your great, 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 great grandparents. If you want to go back to like caveman days, you can, but, just think about a time when being a human was really hard, because it's not hard right now. Like, we have everything handed to us. We have everything so easy. We don't need to leave our couches to go get food. There's food everywhere and it's very high in calories. It's very delicious. We have to expend very little energy each day. Like, we sit at desks, we sit behind computers, we sit and watch TV, we sit in our cars. So life for humans in most parts of the world right now is far, far easier than it was hundreds or thousands of years ago. So think back to hundreds or thousands of years ago when humans had to every single day wake up and answer questions like, where am I going to get food? You know, where are we going to live next week? Or what's going to happen if the weather changes and, you know, our source of vegetation dies out, or the animals that we're currently hunting move and go somewhere else? What are we going to do? How are we going to survive? How are we going to eat? We need shelter. We need to keep ourselves warm.
what are we going to do? How are we going to survive? That was like a, you know, front of brain daily concern for people hundreds and thousands of years ago. And we don't have to think like that, most of us anymore, right? So it makes sense then, if you think about your body, your female body in the context of history and the way that humans are wired, why this kind of eat less, exercise more approach to losing body fat and changing our bodies doesn't work and why it backfires. Because we as humans are wired for survival. And once you understand that, and once you understand also that the female body as the childbearing sex has an even bigger role to play in the continuation of the human species, then it gets a lot easier to understand why, oh, okay, so not eating for 16 hours a day, doing this whole intermittent fasting thing, while also not eating carbs, while also doing 2 hours of exercise every day, I can see how maybe that might make my body think I'm in some kind of survival scenario, some kind of very stressful scenario. And, you know, my metabolic rate slows down, my desire to move slows down because my body is trying to conserve energy. It is trying to survive because I'm giving it signals that feel like a threat. Does that make sense? So when you start looking at your own body through the lens of how it is wired for survival, wired for, as women, childbearing and lactation also, you know, not just growing the baby, but keeping the baby alive. Everything gets a lot clearer and makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? I think this is something more coaches, more weight loss programs need to talk about, especially those that serve female audiences, because the strategies that they are teaching, girls, I'm telling you, they're scaring the shit out of our bodies and they are working against the way that we are designed. So what we often hear in Fat Loss Lifestyle School from our clients very quickly, like first 2 weeks, is, oh my gosh, like this isn't as hard as I thought it would be. Like I've been killing myself for no reason. I'm eating more food. I'm eating more frequently. I've stopped running 6 days a week and now I'm just doing like 2 days a week and my runs are shorter and I'm lifting more weights and they're doing less activity in the gym. They're working smarter, not harder. They're eating a larger volume of food and more nutrient dense food. We're really just kind of making our bodies feel safe. And it feels good when you start to work with your body and do these things that I'm talking about. It feels completely different. It makes it really obvious why you felt like crap for so long by under eating, over exercising, constantly trying all these extreme measures to lose weight, because that's not how we're wired. That is the opposite of how you want to approach the female metabolism to get it to change, to lose body fat, to build lean muscle, and to thrive, okay? So if you're listening to this and you're somebody that's still living in that world of eat as little as possible, do as many workouts as possible. What crazy fad can I try this week? Like if you know, low carb isn't working, let me also layer intermittent fasting on top of that and not eat until like 1 o'clock every day. And, you know, just add stress on stress on stress on stress. Now, could our bodies at another time in history have survived like this without eating for long periods of time, with only eating protein and not having any access to vegetation, or the opposite, like having periods where there was no animal meat and they were only eating vegetation? Absolutely. That's the cool thing about our bodies, is that our metabolisms are flexible. And you can see this in people all over the world that are able to survive and thrive eating different kinds of diets. Because the climate is different and the human body can kind of adapt to whatever's available. So it's not a question of like, could intermittent fasting work, or could low carb, high fat, you know, just a carnivore diet, could that work? Absolutely. And, you know, if it didn't work, I don't think humans would still be on the planet. We would have died a long time ago. We are adaptable. The metabolism is flexible. And that's another thing to understand here, is that it's not this rigid structure that can only eat one way and only function one way. It's actually constantly changing and adapting to the environment. And that's how we've been able to survive. this long. And it's all about understanding, I think, the context of where you live now and what your life looks like now. So, you know, for some people or at some points in history, could those strategies have worked? Yeah, because they had to, they had no other choice. But look at your daily life right now and look at how much stress you are under from your work, from the coronavirus, from your kids being homeschooled or like, you know, they're on the computer all day doing virtual learning, all these things that are stressors. And then you think that not eating and living on coffee all day and doing crazy workouts is not also adding stress? Are you kidding me? So it's really understanding, how do I make the body feel safe? How do I work with the female metabolism and get it out of this stressful scenario? That is really where you want to be thinking moving forward. So let's talk about what your metabolism actually needs. This changeable, adaptable mechanism in your body that is so smart and so brilliantly designed and has kept you alive and has kept all of us humans alive for so long. The first thing your female metabolism actually needs is to stop feeling stressed. Like I just talked about, life in this year, 2021, when I'm recording this, is very stressful. And there are a lot of things that we think of as maybe enjoyable, but your body would disagree. And an example of that would be doing hours and hours of intense exercise. We hear this a lot from women we work with who maybe are addicted to group fitness classes or addicted to running. And they're convinced that if they don't run 5 miles every day, you know, that's my stress management. I got to get out there and run 5 miles every day or I'm going to be super stressed. Understand that just because something makes you feel good and because you like it doesn't mean it couldn't also be working against you. This is where it might be beneficial to have some hormone testing done. One that I like and recommend that I've done myself is called the Dutch test. That is a test that's done over the course of, I think it's a couple days. And it's a urine test and you send it into the lab and it tests your hormone levels. And you can actually see what your cortisol curve looks like and what your cortisol production is. And, you know, see how your body's metabolizing that stress hormone and what's going on there. Because that is something that I personally had to come to grips with, was my love of very intense group exercise classes done too frequently for too many years in combination with a stressful lifestyle of running a business and working multiple jobs, et cetera, basically fried my body and my cortisol levels were out of control. So willing to bet that is the case for a lot of people listening to this who are super, super active and fit and kind of have that almost addiction to exercise. Understand that just because you get the endorphins and you get the high and it feels really good and it's really fun, it's your social outlet, you know, it doesn't mean that underneath the surface, things aren't going haywire. And you got to watch that, especially as a woman, especially as you get into your late 30s, 40s, and especially as you get in your menopause in your 50s, okay? So the metabolism needs to stop being overstressed. And I will also say here that the other extreme is also true. Yes, undereating and overtraining, very stressful. That huge gap in calories in versus calories expended, very stressful on the body. The opposite is also true. So the couch potato lifestyle of not moving at all, sitting at a desk all day, then driving in a car, and then coming home and sitting on the couch and eating fast food and eating a very calorie dense diet full of low nutrient food, also very stressful on the body. And you feel that. That's why you don't feel good, because that's not how your body's designed to operate. So this is the first thing you need to understand if you want to start working with your metabolism, is it doesn't like stress and you need to get the stress down. And that comes from a combination of stress management, sleep, nutrition, movement, et cetera. And it comes from finally admitting defeat and waving the white flag to the concept of eat less, exercise more to change your body, to lose fat. It doesn't work. Number two, the thing that your metabolism actually needs is to feel safe, especially as a woman, because our bodies are like one of my mentors, teachers, Jade Tita, likes to say, the female metabolism is like a barometer for stress. Yeah, And if you don't follow him, I highly recommend following him because he talks a lot about this and can do it from a much more detailed perspective, gets super deep into the biochemistry. If you're a huge science nerd, maybe you are a fellow coach or practitioner, that might be a place for you to go and start learning more about this on a deeper level. But I'm keeping things a little bit high level and simplified today because you're probably not a biochemistry nerd who needs to know all the nitty-gritty details about the hormones and stuff. Number two, here I said, is the metabolism needs to feel safe. One of the best ways you can do that is to match your food intake to your activity level. Yes, you can still be in a calorie deficit. What I'm trying to get you to understand here is that food and exercise work like dials and they go together. So if your activity level goes up, your calorie intake needs to go up with it. If you don't want to lose weight, then you, like I said earlier, find out what that maintenance level of calories is for you and that's what you eat. If your goal is fat loss, then you take a little bit off, but not too much. It only needs to be around 20%, 25%. But again, you've still, you know, you're still matching the food coming in to the output. We're not creating this giant gap of thousands of calories where, you know, you're overtraining and under eating. You need to not stay in fat loss mode in a calorie deficit indefinitely. This is a big one. Like I said earlier at the beginning of the podcast, how many of you have been trying to lose weight since you were like 18? Like you've been on a diet since you were in college and you only know dieting, you only know a calorie deficit. And then the opposite of that is binging. When the deficit gets to be, you know, your willpower finally caves in, your hunger and cravings are through the roof and you can't even ignore it anymore. And you just give in and go crazy and you binge. And then what do? You go right back into a crash deficit. So you only know extremes and you only think like in terms of fat loss, like everything has to be fat loss. I cannot stop trying to lose weight. That is very stressful for your body, for your metabolism. So have periods where you take a break. If you've been trying to lose fat for like a year and you kind of plateaued and your willpower is kind of non-existent and you're having a really hard time with compliance to your nutrition and getting your workouts in, you might need to take a break. And that doesn't mean you're going to gain a ton of weight back. It just means you're going to stop trying to lose weight. You're going to hang out where you are for maybe a couple of weeks. Honestly, just a couple of weeks could be all it takes to give your body that pause. And then you could maybe restart and do another 12-week cycle of being in that slight calorie deficit again. But you want to get yourself out of this idea of constantly being in a deficit, of constantly trying to lose fat. It doesn't work. And it really doesn't work as you get more and more lean. So if you have a significant amount of weight to lose, this might not hit you as hard as fast as it will someone who's already down to like the low 20s in their body fat percentage or the high teens, ladies especially. The leaner you get, the harder it is to get more lean. And the more you will have to kind of learn how to manipulate your training and your nutrition to work with your metabolism and work around these natural tendencies that it has to push back when we push on it to make our bodies get leaner than they would like to be, okay? So that's the second point, is you need to make your body, your metabolism feel safe by keeping your food intake matched to your activity level. That works in both directions. If exercise goes up, food goes up. If exercise goes down, food goes down. And you know, not staying in diet mode indefinitely. The last one, the last thing your metabolism actually needs is for you to do you, to understand that you are unique and your metabolism is always changing and adapting. That is its job. So start working with it and stop fighting against it. Stop looking at what other people are doing and trying to squeeze yourself into a box of what worked for someone else and learn your body right now. Because if a certain diet or approach worked for you when you were in college or maybe when you were 25, chances are it's not going to work now if you're 35 or you're 45, and it sure ain't going to work if you're 55 because you have a very different metabolism. So trying to always go back to, well, that used to work. If I just kill myself harder, maybe it'll work again. No, you need to start where you are now and learn what you have to work with now. And you know, just because you are in your 30s or 40s or 50s or later doesn't mean that all hope is lost and you cannot lose fat. It just means you need a different approach. You need to be a little more strategic and understand that as we age as women, our bodies get more and more sensitive to stress. So you're probably going to have to modify your workout routine. You're probably going to have to modify your nutrition and start doing things a little more gently than you might have been able to do when you were, like I said, in college or, you know, in your early 20s. Okay. And that's not because you're broken. That's just what our bodies do as we age. So this is not, I'm not saying like, because you're old, because you're getting old, that's not it at all. Like, this is just what the human metabolism does. And when you understand that, you can work with it. And it feels much, much better than trying to always operate in these extremes and, you know, always looking for the next diet challenge or the next quick fix. Like I said earlier, like, just please stop scaring the shit out of your body and use a common sense, science-based approach to fat loss. And that is what we teach in Fat Loss Lifestyle School. If you don't know where to start, you don't even know what that looks like or how to eat or, you know, the effect that food has on your body or how to train in a really smart way, that is literally what we teach women to do and what we've been doing since 2013 when I created this program. So the metabolism is actually not this thing that can break or stop or slow down. It's not it at all. It's a process that your body is always doing to keep you alive. It's always converting energy consumed into energy to be used. And yes, there are hormones that, you know, play on that process and determine whether the body is building things or tearing things down. Anabolism, catabolism, I could get into that, but I won't. But ultimately, just understanding the concepts that I've talked about so far, this is really going to give you a breakthrough in how you approach exercise and how you approach food. And that's our goal in every round of Fat Loss Lifestyle School with every client that we work with, is to teach women how their bodies actually work and set them free from these lies that they've been told their whole lives about, you know, you have to eat 1200 calories a day if you want to lose fat. You can't eat after a certain time at night if you want to lose fat. You need to fast for 16 hours a day if you want to lose fat. You can't eat carbs once you've passed a certain age. None of that is true. This is all about learning what works for you, learning how your metabolism is working right now, and then understanding that it's not a static thing. It's always changing. It's always adapting. And so the more flexible you get and the less you try to have a death grip on this process and you just kind of roll with it, easier this whole thing is going to be. You're going to look better and you're going to feel better. And it's going to finally feel like you're not at war with your body anymore. If that sounds good to you, I would love to hear from you what you think about this episode. Shoot me a message on Instagram at Fat Loss Lifestyle School, or, oh my gosh, this would be even better, share this episode with your friends, because I bet if you're struggling with these things, so are they. And we're in the business of setting women free in Fat Loss Lifestyle School. And if you can help us spread that message and get this word out that our bodies don't work like calculators and we don't have to just eat, you know, under 1200 calories a day and do all this crazy exercise, oh, it would mean the world to us and it would mean the world to your friends, because you're saving them from years of heartache and possible damage to their bodies. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Let me know what you think. Let's start the conversation over on Instagram. I will see you there. Thanks so much. Bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you loved it. Before you go, I want to invite you to come over and join our new group on Facebook called Fat Loss Lifestyle Insiders. This is not your average Facebook group for women. We're not going to be sharing recipes, random workouts, and motivational quotes, because I'm pretty sure you have plenty of that in your life. Instead, we're having higher level conversations about how we train, how we fuel our bodies, and why we're doing this whole lifestyle change thing to begin with. Jump over to Facebook, search Fat Loss Lifestyle Insiders in the search bar, request to join, and I will see you there.